Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Can everyone hear me okay? Good, thank you. Welcome to the Wollongong Local Planning Panel this afternoon. This is a panel which is constituted under New South Wales planning legislation. It's a panel independent of the council, and the role of the panel is to hear from submitters and interested parties and to make decisions and provide advice to the council. The way it works is that there's certain applications which are triggered under the legislation that have to be referred to the panel for determination, and that includes things, for example, where there's a development standard that an applicant seeking exemption from, that's a requirement to come to the panel, and there's other things that the council will ask the panel for advice on. On particularly on controversial matters, and then the panel provides its advice, and then the council actually make the decision. I'll introduce all of the panel members before we start. Helena, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi everyone, my name is Helena Miller. I'm a planning consultant. I've got about 30 years planning experience now. I've been on this panel for some 12 years. And I'm also on a number of other local planning panels, including the City of Sydney and Campbelltown panel. Thank you.
My name is Glenn Folson. I've been a town planner for over 40 years, approximately half of which was in local government, and the other half being a private consultant.
My name is Trish McBride. I have an interest in occupational health and safety, and I have lived in many countries around the world and seen some really good and some really bad architecture. So I'd like to put my little senior's stamp on Wollongong's architecture.
And my name's Robert Montgomery. I have many, many years experience in local government and state government and private practice. My background is in town planning. I also sit on two other councils, Lane Cove and Bayside, as an alternate chair and expert. And I've been currently operate my own planning practice and have done so for approximately 14 years. We'll move on to the agenda. We'll hear from submitters first and then from applicants, and we'll do the agenda in the order of the agenda. We actually have seven items on the agenda, but six of those items are being considered as one item because they all apply to the same property. The first item that the panel is considering is 47 Staff Street, Wollongong. It's a proposal for a boarding house. The application has already been refused by the council, and the council the applicant submitted an application to review that decision, and that's what's coming to the panel tonight, and the council has asked for the panel's advice in respect of that application. Now, we've had some late news on this one. The application for review has been withdrawn today by the applicant, so which means that there's currently no application for the panel to consider tonight. It may not be the end of the process, though, because even though the applicant has withdrawn the request for review, the applicant still has a right of appeal. We don't know, you know, it's entirely up to the applicant how they proceed. So we know that there's a couple of people here that want to speak, and we thought, given that you've gone to all the effort of coming, we'd like to hear from you because we'd still like to provide some advice to the council about this application should the council find themselves defending it in an appeal. So with that background, I have Jennifer Lewis. Jennifer's not here. Howard Williams, come forward, and if you can tell us your name, and I understand you're speaking on behalf of the St Michael's Anglican Church, which owns and operates two adjoining premises.
Yes, my name's Howard Williams and I represent... it's on. My name's Howard Williams and I'm representing St Mark's Anglican Church, West Wollongong, in my capacity as a warden of the church. We've thought it necessary to come today primarily because of the number of errors in the documentation provided by the applicant and the continuation of those errors or omissions in spite of those things being pointed out in our original letter of objection. There are three issues in particular that we wish to raise. One relates to the non-compliance of clause 3.1 bracket 2 of the Wollongong DCP chapter 3, which is about clustering. The second is in relation to traffic. And the third is in relation to the internal set out. The clustering provisions which are in place, which provide that there shouldn't be clustering of boarding houses, and the applicant has continued to ignore the fact that immediately adjacent on two sides of the property there are already boarding houses, and they continue to say that the nearest boarding house is 150 metres from the site of the existing one. From the site of 47 Staff Street, but 49 Staff Street and 429A Crown Street, or 47 is adjacent to, sorry, 49 is adjacent to, and 429A is at the rear of this property, this same property, and they are boarding houses.
And I understand that that they're registered boarding houses. There's no concern that it's not on the public record, because it is, obviously. Yes. Thank you.
So I guess that highlights the ignoring of a fact, even in their second application, that they chose to ignore that fact, which they could ignore. The second issue relates to parking, and there was a change effective on the 1st of June 2018, which requires the parking to be 0.5 of a space per room, but the applicant has, which would give, on the basis of the number of rooms, requirement for 13 car parking spaces, but the applicant, I think, has, so that shows a minimum of 7 parking spaces less than required, so that new provision has been ignored. And as you are well aware, the precinct around there with the hospitals, the public hospital, the private hospital, new construction work going on, getting a park in this street is difficult. The absurdity of them saying in their first application that Staff Street was a no-through road or there was no-through traffic was just clearly nonsense. Again, expressing our concern about the lack of credibility of the genuineness of their application in terms of putting things on the table that are correct. And the third matter relates to the internal set out, where the size of the living room, if all were there, results in about 1 square metre per person in the living area, which in our view is demonstrably inadequate. And these issues were all set out in our letter of the 14th of October 2019, where we set out those particular issues. But we thought in particular it was worth repeating those, because they seem to just to be ignored by the applicant. I have a slightly lengthier copy of what I've said, which sets out to a large extent what we said in our letter of 14 October, but focuses just on those three issues. So that's basically what we wanted to say.
Thank you. Yeah, I should point out that the panel actually did inspect the site today. We visited the site and looked at the adjoining properties and the traffic situation around the area. When you mentioned the change in parking spaces or the parking space requirements, I'm assuming you're referring to the affordable housing SEP. Because I think that's what's changed during the course of this application.
I'm by no means have much knowledge of town planning, but that was my understanding.
No.
That there's been a change in the regulations.
Yeah, well, there certainly has,
And living in View Street in North Wollongong, I know the difficulties of parking in these in central Wollongong, where if you want to get a park, it's exceedingly difficult. And driving in and out of the church for the last 25 years, you often have to wait for cars to come past to get out of our lane onto Staff Road. It's quite busy.
Okay. Is there any other questions? No. Thank you very much for your submission.
Okay.
So we don't have Jennifer Lewis. Is there anybody else that would like to speak? Thank you. Yes, please. That would like to speak that didn't register? No, and the applicant's not here? Definitely not. Okay, so as I mentioned earlier, the panel will still provide some advice to the council on this matter, and the minutes of the panel are usually published on the council's website about 3 working days after the meeting, so if you have, keep a look out on the website. Should there be anything further, for example, if the applicant was to take the matter to court, then the normal course of events, you would, as an objector or a submitter, you'd be notified of that situation. And I should say too that we read the submissions. So thanks very much for your attendance. Yep, well, definitely. Okay, now we have the next item is various units at... Oh, yes, thank you. I'm just reminded about conflict of interest, and I should have mentioned this at the beginning of the meeting, but each of the panel members has signed a declaration confirming that they don't have any conflict of interest in relation to any of the items on the agenda tonight, and those signed forms are public record and they are recorded by the council and saved by the council. So just confirming that there is no conflict of interest. Okay, we've got items 2 to 7, which we've had a joint report because obviously they're all very similar. Now, we don't have any members of the public, or do we have any members of the public who wish to speak on this? No? Okay. Now, I don't have any applicants registered, but I noticed that there's a number of people here. Oh, are they? Sorry. I must apologise. You're not on my list. I must have got an old list. Oh, I'm sorry. It's all right. Must be getting close to Christmas. I do apologise. Sat on another council panel last night and they do their lists slightly differently and I was looking in the wrong place, so my apologies. Okay. So we have Rebecca Goodman, Nadia Funnell, Don McCleary, Robert Chapman and Bryce Short, all registered to speak. You're welcome to speak individually or as a group or not at all. It's entirely up to you, but I will let you know that the panel has looked at this very carefully and the panel is of a mind to approve the applications as recommended, subject to a couple of minor additional conditions which really will not affect your use of the property necessarily. But we are happy to hear if you'd still like to address us or make yourself available for questions. So you are Rebecca. Please come up and you're speaking in relation to Unit 4. Yep.
I am speaking in relation to Unit 4. Unit 4 is operated, by Camray Air, who install air conditioning units, and I'm speaking as the applicant and on behalf of Nadia and Shane Funnell as a town planning consultant. After reading over Council's report and the proposed conditions, we only have one concern, and it does relate to condition number 7, staff numbers. I feel perhaps there has been an oversight in the wording of that condition. For this particular unit, it reads a maximum of 2 staff are to be on site at the premises at any one time. The statement that we submitted, it did state a maximum of 2 employees within the office at any one time, but it's also clearly noted, in addition to the office staff, that field staff are required to attend the depot sporadically throughout the day to load and unload their vans as they come and go from jobs. The current condition doesn't allow for these additional site visits by field staff, which prevents the site from reasonably functioning as a depot. I did have a look through the other conditions, particularly Unit 15, which is also proposed as a depot, and I note that their staff numbers, their condition for staff numbers states a maximum of 2 staff are to be at the premises throughout the day. Additional staff may temporarily attend the site. This condition's considered to address the manner in which the depot is intended to operate. And it's unclear to us whether Council were intending to provide a more restrictive condition for Unit 4. However, it's asked if the wording from Unit 15 could be carried over and applied to Unit 4 as well to enable the business to function in the manner required. I don't know whether in me speaking today, I'm making the assumption, as I guess I need to at this point, that Council has intentionally done that so as to counter that argument. Is there an opportunity to find that out? Or do you want me just to continue with my reasoning behind the change?
Yeah, look, we noticed that condition.
Okay.
And we've got some concerns about the limits that may unnecessarily place on you and any of the other businesses. And we've seen, situations where this has occurred, and it forces you to, to have to make applications to modify consents every time something changes. So we've certainly heard your submission, and we're concerned about the operation of those conditions. So we're going to have a look at those and revisit those conditions.
Okay, all right. So you're
comfortable with? Yep. So your client owns or operates Unit 15 as well.
No, they don't.
Okay.
No, they only operate Unit 4.
Right.
I was just reading over all of the other conditions to see if there was a clear 2 staff per unit for whatever reason had been applied. But clearly that wasn't the case. Some have quite a few additional staff beyond the 2 that we seem to be restricted to.
All right.
No, I think that's it. I do have Shane and Nadia Funnell, the owners, here. So if you have any questions regarding that unit, I'm sure they or myself will.
Okay. Before you go, the panel's looking at applying a couple of extra conditions, and so we'll just get your response to those.
Okay. Specifically for that unit?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Well, we'd apply it to all of them.
Right.
One of the conditions, would require the applicant to submit an application for a building information certificate. You're a planner, so you understand what we're talking about. And I think it puts your clients in a much cleaner position in that not only is the use approved, but the building information certificate makes it clear that the council doesn't object to what's being constructed. And I note that you've already submitted engineering and BCA reports, so it wouldn't be onerous at all.
It would just be the formality of the application.
And I think it's good practice to do that, just to it's a loose end.
I hadn't actually noticed that condition wasn't there. Right?
Yeah, we think should be tied up. The other thing too, there's a condition 5, I think, proposed. What is it on 4? There's a condition which proposes to restrict the use of the mezzanine area for storage only. Maybe it's not on this one. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 8.
Condition 8, sorry. And again, similar to the staff condition, the panel thinks that is overly restrictive.
Condition 8 on unit 4?
Yeah, yep.
That is hours of operation?
No, I'll read it out for you.
Oh,
hang on.
I don't know,
maybe we've got the wrong one.
We do have condition 5, the use of areas within the unit, but it's the areas as they're marked on the plan is how I've read it.
My problem is these aren't divided up by applications.
So, yeah.
So it should be... So condition 5, as proposed, says areas shown for use as storage or loading, unloading or servicing to be limited to the stated use and not used for other purposes. No, that's not the one. There was a condition, maybe it's not on here, about the use of the mezzanine for storage only. May not have carried over into all of them.
I did notice the numbering is slightly out because I was looking for the... purely for the staff number conditions on others, and they are numbered slightly differently.
So. But
well, it's the same unit, it's still saying loading, storage and loading has to be storage and loading.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I think what we're thinking of doing is placing a condition on the use of the mezzanine to only be used in conjunction with the approved ground floor use to prevent the, you know, people taking a
modifications
opportunity to put an extra tenant in or something.
Right.
So,
okay.
And potentially removing the condition that requires areas that have been shown as loading or storage now to be only used for that, so that if you have a minor change, you can do that.
Yeah.
You can do that within it. Yeah.
So other than that, unless any of the other panel members have any questions, I don't think we've got any issues.
Okay.
So,
no,
thanks.
That's great.
Thank you very much. Now, who else would like to speak?
I think in view of the opinion that...
Can I ask you to, just for the record, I know you're probably only going to be very short, but the problem is that if it's not on the recording, then, you know, we don't know who said it or whatever. So you are...
Robert Chapman, Architectural Hardwood Joinery, which is Unit 7... 11, 12, 13 and 14.
Okay. I think we saw a lot of your recycled hardwood.
That's correct.
Stored in there,
I guess I was just, I guess I did come down here to say my piece, but in view of the indication that the panel's going to approve the application, then it doesn't really seem that important.
Okay. Thanks for that. No one else? Okay. All right. Well, that concludes items 2 through 7. And that concludes the meeting. So thank you all for your attendance. I'll formally close the meeting at 5:30. As I mentioned, this application is actually for decision. So it doesn't have to go anywhere after this panel. Once the panel makes the decision, then you'll get your approval out in the mail. You can send out in the mail. So, as I said, those will be deliberating immediately after the meeting, and our minutes will be published in the next 3 days. And those minutes, in your case, are essentially your approval. But you'll get a formal notification afterwards. Thank you very much.